We welcome the radio audience to our Bible study as the radio Bible class streams across the nation and around the world. We bring to you a message of how Christ ministers to his disciples after the resurrection. We greet you on the internet and radio and Twitter with a message that Jesus is alive today. Now it's that time of year again. WMER, our Word Talk Inc., the parent company, is starting its charitable giving campaign. We want you to know that playing music on the radio sounds simple, and it's actually quite costly due to publishing rights and royalties for that music. And then, of course, before that music's ever played, you have utility bills, you have tower rental fees, you have maintenance. And WMER, our Word Talk Inc., needs your support to continue this ministry. Now, you can make a monthly gift for $19. And we can do that by check, or you can drop it by the office, or you can give us your credit card. We can take that over the phone by calling 601-483-8648, 601-483-8648. Now, you can mail it to us by mailing WMER Word Talk, Inc., P.O. Box 4334, Meridian, Mississippi, 39304. That's WMER Word Talk, Inc., P.O. Box 4334, Meridian, Mississippi, 39304. Or if you want to trade emails about this, you can email us at rbc@wmerworldwide.com. rbc@wmerworldwide.com, and we can send you a flyer where you can mail in, or we can get your information. Just email us, and we'll be glad to work with you. And I want to remind you, Word Talk, Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 tax exempt corporation, and your gift is tax exempt. And Jesus said in Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Now today's lesson is titled "The Mystery of the Gospel Revealed." Now, when I was growing up, I loved a good mystery, and I still do. There were lots of mystery shows that I loved to watch, and couple of them that I immediately think of is Columbo and his famous cigar and trench coat. Or how about Kojak and his lollipop? Charlie's Angels with Kate Jackson and Farrah Fawcett and Jacqueline Smith. I mean, who doesn't remember them? Or Starsky and Hutch in that cool car? Or Magnum P.I., you know, in that beach house and that Ferrari he drove? And he didn't even own the place. Or Knight Rider and the customized Pontiac Trans Am. Or Miami Vice, Crockett and Tubbs. I love that show where they would be chasing someone or speeding through Miami in Crockett's Ferrari or out on his boat. But the show that I watched for sure every Saturday morning consisted of a mystery machine van with four teenagers, Fred and Daphne, Velma and Shaggy, and their talking dog, Scooby-Doo. Yeah, Scooby-Doo, where are you? That's the name of the show. Whenever you saw the van painted with psychedelic colors and flower power, you knew they were going to solve the mystery that involved supposedly a ghost or a monster or some supernatural creature. You know, they would split up, and that was the funny part. It never failed while they were looking for clues. It would always end up with Scooby and Shaggy being chased by that creature. But it would conclude with them solving the hoax by Fred designing some trap that would capture who they were chasing, and then they would unmask them. And it would reveal who the villain was. And of course, the villain would always say, "And I would have gotten away with it had it not been for you meddling kids." Well, today, we're going to look at a mystery that Paul reveals to us. It's an important mystery. It's not mysterious, or it's not a crime that needs to be solved. It's something that people don't understand or didn't understand back in Paul's day. Now remember, the Bible didn't exist yet. In today's lesson, Paul's writing to the Ephesians about a topic he described as a mystery. And Paul says this mystery wasn't known before, but is now known. And I'll show you that. Let's jump into the text, Ephesians 3. We'll read just 1-6 to start with. "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, and I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it's now been revealed two as holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the Gospels. Now, before we get into this lesson today, I want to give you a warning. Some people in their Bible study and their teaching will try to take a mystery or a way to look at the Gospel and make it sound very mysterious. They say that only certain people can figure it out, and they're one of them. And Paul's not doing that here. I promise you, Paul's not doing this. The problem was the Bible didn't exist for them to understand. But if you listen to me closely, whenever you hear somebody say that there's a mysterious way to figure out the Bible that only a few people in history have managed to do, you can be sure of one thing. They're wrong, and you shouldn't be listening to them. If you ask people, what does it take to follow Christ? Some will tell you with a blank look, or others will just say, repent of your sins and believe on Him. And even though that's a correct answer, there's more. I mean, how do you follow Him? And some will say there's rules you have to follow. And there, some will tell you, no, we live by grace. There are no rules anymore. And it's not that, but it's not all the rules. God judges on the inside, not the outside. You take that plus 66 books with different authors, and all of a sudden you can see people get confused on what it means to walk with Christ and walk in Christ daily. So they start asking questions like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to focus on? You know, how am I supposed to figure out a mystery of walking with Christ? Well, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:16, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He, Jesus, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. So even Paul was trying to guide Timothy on how to teach what it meant to be a Christ follower and how to live by it day by day. Now today, Paul gives us four keys in this passage of Scripture for unlocking the mysteries of following Jesus Christ. It's not a checklist. It's not a list that if you do these four things, it's not a set of rules, but it's a mindset for us as Christians and for us as our Christian faith and how we should walk every day with that mindset. So let's jump in. The first key to unlocking the mystery of following Christ is having the right perspective. And you might ask, what is perspective? Well, it's how you look at things or how you see things. Yeah, how you understand things are based off that perspective. It's how you come at things. It's how you interpret things that you see or you experience. If you look at verse 1, Paul says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, Paul starts this section by stating the fact that he's a prisoner of Christ. Now, he doesn't elaborate on this theme, but he does pick it back up in chapter 4. We'll study that in a couple of weeks. Verse 1, he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So in a couple of weeks, like I said, we'll see that when we get to chapter 4. See, in chapter 3, verse 1, we see Paul's mindset. He has the right perspective. And you might say, well, how's that the right perspective? Well, remember, I told you when we started Ephesians, Ephesians is one of the prison letters. Paul is in Rome. He's under house arrest. He's shackled to two guards. So he uses the terminology of prisoner because literally he is a prisoner. He's waiting for an appeal to Caesar. He's waiting for his sentencing. He has the freedom to move around this house, but he's shackled to two guards so he can't break free. Now, you know, Paul doesn't say, I'm a prisoner of Rome or of Caesar, but he says he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. It's here we see the right perspective. What we can learn from Paul is he didn't allow his circumstances to change his perspective. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, Paul is saying, no matter what happens to me, you can kill me, you can free me, it doesn't matter. Either way, I'm eternally shackled to what God has for me through Jesus Christ. These shackles are physical and they're temporary because my life with Christ is eternal. Despite his circumstances, Paul had the right perspective. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. See, Paul looked at his testimony of being a prisoner as something to be looked up to. Our society looks down on prisoners, but Paul is saying, no, 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 no. If I'm going to be shackled to something, if I'm going to be shackled to anything, if I'm going to be shackled, I want to be shackled to Jesus Christ and look up to that. See, Paul's more focused on serving Christ than anything. The world could do whatever it wanted to, but he was going to walk every day with and in Christ. We need to understand and live that perspective. So many times we get tripped up in our circumstances and we forget that God has a mission for us. Paul was of the mindset anything could happen, but nothing was going to take his eyes off Jesus Christ. We can't let our circumstances dictate our perspective. Whether it's a job loss, a struggle with sickness, some drama in your life, we can't let those circumstances dictate our life. Too many times we take our eyes off Christ and let the obstacles change our perspective. Now let me ask you a question here. I want you to think back 5 years ago, 2012, and I want you to think back in your life, and I want to ask you this. What happened in 2012? If you're like me, you can't remember. You don't remember what happened in 2012. You're probably saying to yourself, I have no clue what happened in 2012. I don't remember what happened last week. Now, you may be an exception because there was a major event in your life like a wedding or a birth of a baby or death, but most of us don't remember what happened 5 years ago. Now, why is that important? See, whatever's going on in your life right now is going to pass. All the stuff that you were dealing with 5 years ago, it's gone. And you've forgotten about it because you're so focused on all the stuff going on right now. We go from circumstance to circumstance to circumstance, and we're tossed back and forth like we were on a sea. Now, Paul, you know, he's writing, and Paul is like, I've been there, literally and spiritually. I've been shipwrecked. I've been run out of town. I had all this stuff happen to me, but you never seen bring it up. Why? Because his perspective is focused above and beyond that. It's focused on what God has called him to do. Now, what Paul is saying as Christians, one of the keys to following Christ is that we have the right perspective, that we don't look at Jesus through our circumstances, but we look at our circumstances through Jesus. If we have the right view of Jesus Christ, then we'll see he'll bring us through it. See, we can't choose what happens to us, but we can choose how we react. Paul had a lot of stuff happen to him. Believe me, go read 1 Corinthians. But he had the right outlook. We need to remember who we serve. 1 John 4:4 says, who is in you is greater than who is in the world. God, who is within you, is greater. Greater than any problem, greater than any difficulty, greater than the devil, greater than anything you'll ever face, God is greater. As a Christian, we need to have the right perspective. We need to be asking, how is God going to use this for his glory? How's God going to use me in this situation to move the kingdom forward? How's God going to use this to grow me personally? See, that's the right perspective. So the first key to unlocking the mystery to following Christ is having the right perspective. The second key to unlocking the mystery to following Christ is to understand the purpose. See, it is so much better to live with purpose and meaning than to walk around aimlessly. We'll see that. Look at verse 4. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations as it's been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See, Paul mentions this mystery. Now, like I told you, the Bible hadn't been there, so this mystery is not some secret that's exclusive that only people can figure out. That's not what he's saying. He's not telling people, hey, if you send me money in Rome, I'll enlighten you. No, that's not it. What he's saying by mystery is something that wasn't known before is now known. And we know that by looking at verse 5. Look at what it says. Which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it's now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. If you go back to Acts, you'll see that Peter was revealed to go to the Gentiles by God telling him what God has called clean, do not call unclean. See, now this mystery is being made known, and it's being built up so that he can reveal it in verse 6, which is this. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Great doctrine here. It's a great doctrinal truth. And we studied it last week when we talked about Jews and Gentiles. And Paul's mentioned it before. And Paul is getting at something here. And he's doing this because why? Paul was a Jew. Paul was a Pharisee. And he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was an up-and-comer. And Jews took pride in of their heritage because they were God's chosen people. They looked down on anybody that wasn't a Jew. They would go as far to call Gentiles dogs. So for a Gentile to be an heir, to be a member of the body of Christ, to be a partaker of the promise, it was heresy. To a Jew, this was heresy. And Paul battles this throughout the New Testament, especially in Galatians. The Jews in Galatians wanted the new Gentile Christians to get circumcised. And they wanted them to follow Old Testament law, but Paul teaches them that there's a new covenant that supersedes the old covenant. And circumcision is now not of an outward, but it's of an inward. It's now of the heart. It's what happens on the inside and not what's on the outside of the body. See, Jews and Gentiles are now the same by the finished work on the cross. He says in Galatians 3, 28 and 29, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. See, this is a tough nut for the Jews to swallow. See, their pride was in their bloodline, being chosen of God. And you may be thinking, well, that's first century thing, but Christians still struggle with this today. There are Christians that struggle with pride, because they think they live better than other people. They don't yield to temptation as easily, or they read their Bible and they pray every day, and God has blessed them financially. They think they're better than other Christians. For the sake of your relationship with God, for the sake of your relationship with others, stop playing the comparison game. God does not grade on a curve. Your standing with Him has nothing to do how you measure up to someone else. God is not interested on the outside. God is interested on the inside. You should have given your heart to Him, and that's why God looks at us. He does not look at, are we that much better? No one is better. We're all the same. He sees us all the same. God's purpose all along, before He even picked the Jews, was for all of us to be heirs and partakers of this great promise. Our purpose in life, first and foremost, is to receive that free gift of salvation. Yes, it's a gift. And then you let other people know about it, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to let other people know that it's available and that there are people out there that are desperate for it. They're waiting for you to tell them. Now, people are searching for purpose in life. There are people that go from job to job. Others go from relationship to relationship, and some go from drug to drug, and a group of people that do a combination of all of these. See, they're trying to fill a void that needs God put in it. And God put in us that we need a relationship with Him. And until you understand that purpose, you will wander through life aimlessly. There's no peace. There's no real joy. God shows us true purpose right here. He's going to make us heirs and a member of His family. We're adopted by a king. He's saying, I'm going to make you royalty, partakers of the promise in Christ. See, we have something that cannot be offered from the world. It doesn't matter how much money or how much education or what geographical area you live in. See, there's a free gift from God, and we're all offered it. We just need to receive it and believe in it. And we've been changed by the good news of the gospel. Now we are inheriting everything as part of that good news, as a part of His family, and we're going to partake of His promises, not only in the future, but right now. And this should give every Christian purpose and meaning in their life. Now, let's look at the third key to unlocking the mystery of following Christ. Look at verse 7. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of His power. Now, we've looked at what our perspective should be. We've looked at and discovered what our purpose, but now we need to know what our posture is. What is our posture as a follower of Christ? Paul gives it to us right here at the beginning. Of this gospel, I was made a minister. Now notice, Paul doesn't say that he was a pastor. He doesn't even say he's an apostle, even though later he does. And he had surely the right to be an apostle. But he's very specific in what he says here. And he says he was a minister. And if you look at that Greek word for minister, it's diakonos, which is what we get our word deacon from, which really means servant. Now, Paul shares his posture by not only saying he's a prisoner, but he's also a servant. Now, where did he get this from? He got it from the example that Jesus set. If you remember back in the book of John, chapter 13, where Jesus washes the apostles' feet, he takes off his robe, he wraps a towel around him, and he begins to wash their feet. And he says, "Do as I have done." See, Paul heard that story from Peter, and he knew the key to long-lasting joy as a follower of Christ was to be a servant. The Bible teaches serving others is the key to significance in life. Paul says in Philippians 2:5-8, "Having this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man." We should have the same attitude of Christ, taking the form of a servant. That is the true posture of a follower of Christ, a servant. We should be asking, how can I serve? You need to answer this question today. How are you serving for Jesus Christ? Where are you serving in the body? If you're not serving in the body of Christ, then you're a spectator. You're sitting on the sideline. If you're not serving, you're a consumer, you're a customer. Think about that. You're asking, what is the worship going to do for me? What is the pastor going to teach me? See, the focus is on the wrong person. About me and not about him. We have to die to ourselves and have a servant's attitude so all the focus is on him and not us. If you are serving, is your service a burden? Are you working just to accomplish a task? Or is it Jesus reflected through you, all the focus on Jesus to be glorified? If we don't have the right perspective, our posture will be difficult. The posture doesn't come naturally either. Look at the end of verse 7. "According to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power." We've been given the power to serve through the Holy Spirit. Now, does that mean we can't serve on our own power? Well, yes, you can serve on your own power, but you're going to burn out. You will struggle, and you won't have a true joy and peace for doing that servant's work. If we work under the power of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean we won't run into problems or difficulty, but we'll find great joy and satisfaction. Now, Paul takes it a little bit further by showing his attitude as well as his posture. Look at the first part of verse 8. "To me, though I am the very least of all saints." Other places he says that he's the least of all apostles. But here he says he's the least of all saints. Now why does Paul say that? Paul remembers where he came from. Paul was a killer of Christians. He had all the best religious training. He followed the Jewish law to a T. And he had hatred in his heart. He was lost and he's going down the wrong path until that day on the road to Damascus when God got a hold of him and changed his life, changed his heart. Paul is saying, "I'm the least of all saints," because he remembers where he came from. He knows what was in his heart before God changed him. See, we are no different. We won't have the right posture if we don't remember where we came from. It doesn't matter if we were raised in the church or not. We're all sinners, and only by grace of God are we saved. We need to remember what God has brought us out of. Think about this. Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. He had missionary tours around the known world. He planted churches, and he still thinks of himself as the least. Why? Because he remembers where he came from. He knew that those sinful desires are still within his flesh, and it would be easy to go back if he didn't have the right posture and attitude. Now, the fourth key to unlocking the mystery to following Christ is to realize how much of a privilege it is to serve him. And let me show you that by looking at verse 9. "And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." What is Paul saying here? Our role is to bring glory to God. Not only are we to serve and to have the right attitude, but our job is to bring glory to God. It's a privilege to serve, to make known the glory of God. And that's what he's saying in verse 10. It's a privilege to serve, so God gets all the glory. He goes on in verse 11 through 13, and he says, "This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory." Now Paul is saying, "I considered it a privilege to serve for his glory. I wouldn't change a thing. I have no complaints." Remember, Paul has been arrested. He's waiting to see Caesar, yet he has no complaints because it's a privilege to bring the light to everyone through the serving and showing that mystery in God that revealed that everyone is the same. See, Paul has the proper perspective. He understands his purpose. He has the right posture and attitude, and he considers it a privilege, even if he is to suffer. I like what he says in verse 12, "in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him." See, Paul is saying we don't need to be ashamed. We should count it a privilege because we can come straight to him. We have access directly to the Father and received everything we need through him. As we have the right perspective or mindset and move from expecting things from God to desiring him more, we become this open vessel that is the Holy Spirit can fill us and we can go and serve and we can pour it out on others. And it's not for our recognition, but it's a privilege for us to do that for God and God get the glory. Now let me close with this. Romans 1:5 from the New Living Translation. "Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name." So we've been given the privilege and authority to tell others everywhere what God has done for them, so they will believe and bring glory to his name. So with these four keys, first, to have the proper perspective, to see others as Jesus sees them, and to see our problems as just what they are, that God can overcome and take us through them. Second, to understand our purpose. We received a free gift of salvation, and now we're to tell others what Jesus has done for them. And then third, to have the proper posture, a servant's heart, and the proper attitude, knowing who we are in Christ, yet not forgetting where we came from. And then last, considering it a privilege to serve, to tell others, under the authority of the Holy Spirit. If we use these four keys in our daily walk, we will unlock the mystery of following Christ, and others will see that, and they will be saved and bring glory to his name. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. Lord, I thank you for what you've been doing in my life. Lord, as we've studied the richness we have in you and the salvation, Lord, I ask that this word would fall deep into the ears that heard it. Lord, that if there's someone that doesn't understand what it means to follow Christ, that they would understand that we have to have the proper perspective. We have to see things as you see them. Lord, that they would understand that our purpose is to tell others about you. And of course, we are to have a servant's heart. And we should understand who we are in Christ, yet not forget about the work you did in our life. And then last, we should consider it a privilege to serve. Lord, that you've given us the authority and you've allowed the Holy Spirit to come in us, and we should yield to that and we should walk in it daily. Lord, I just ask that this would not be a mystery, or that everybody would understand that we're all the same in Christ, rich or poor, no matter color, no matter education, no matter where they live geographically, we're all the same. We're one body. And when we live together like that, and when we accept one another like that, and when we help one another, Lord, that the world will see that we are different and that they'll want that. Lord, right now, I thank you. Lord, I ask that you would bless this message. Your word teaches us it will not return void. It's in your name we pray. We give you all the honor and glory.